On page 3 of the line 34, which said the following definition would be landed property means land with improvements including building structures and services. On page 3, in line 36, to omit 7 and to substitute 8, that would be a consequential amendment.
Consequential again, yeah. That's right.
On page 3, in line 38, to omit of housing and to substitute if possible for housing.
Means the minister responsible for housing?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. On page 3, from line 39, to omit the definition of municipal entity.
Do you remember that, ma'am? Because we said the municipal entities, they don't have to be defined because no one will be using them. But we would use the organs of state. All right.
On page 3, from line 48, to omit the definition of provincial government enterprise.
Same.
On page 3, from line 50, to omit the definition of provincial public entity.
Yeah. Before that, remember, it means then we are done with definitions. Do you agree with the definitions with these following amendments? So, okay. Do it. You can go to the new clause. A new clause, objects of agency. The objects of the agency are to identify, acquire, hold, develop, and release state and privately owned land for residential and community purposes and for the creation of sustainable human settlements. B. Project manage housing development services for the purposes of the creation of sustainable human settlements. Ensure that there is centrally coordinated planning and budgeting of all infrastructure required for housing development and monitor the provision of all infrastructure required for housing development. Remember, this is where we were calling for centralized planning. So I think we accept as easy.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Clause 4 is rejected, that the following be a new clause. Role of agency. 5.1.
The agency must, after consultation with the relevant owner, identify, acquire, hold, develop and release state or privately owned land for residential and community purposes for the creation of sustainable human settlements. Subclause 2. The agency must ensure that there is funding for the provision of all infrastructure that is required for housing development. Subclause 3. The minister may, where there is a lack of capacity in any organ of state to identify, acquire, hold, develop and release land for residential and community purposes for the creation of sustainable human settlements. Okay. And then A, advise the organ of state to conclude an agreement with the agency to offer assistance in terms of the agency's skills and expertise, or B, direct the agency to engage with the organ of state with a view to conclude the agreement contemplated in paragraph A. For nothing in this act detracts from the power of a province and municipality to identify, acquire, hold, and develop and release land for residential or community development without recourse to the agency, in terms of the functions under the Housing Act of 1997, Act 107 of 1997.
Yes, dear. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I don't have a problem with the rest, but I don't know whether it has been omitted by mistake, because we stress that it's not going to only to assist the municipality. It's also going to transfer skills to the municipality so that the municipalities will not be dependent to the agency. So I think that was that is an omission that we would like to see.
Doing the functions of the agency. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Thanks, ma'am. Thanks. There was another hand there. Who wanted to say something? Oh, somebody was singing aloud. Okay, let's go. Okay, sure. All right. Okay.
Madam Chair, I'll take you through from now. My name is Kumele Lengema, State Law Advisor. We are on Clause 5. Clause 5, the initial clause was rejected.
Madam Chair, I am not certain if we do have the opportunity to as the committee proceeds. I
want to say we agree. It is still what you have done.
Yes.
And then it's right before we say yes.
Okay. Ma'am, it's just a small addition that I would suggest the committee considers. All the same, before clause 5, number 2 at the top.
On page 4.
On page 4, yes, that the agency must ensure that there is funding for the provision of all infrastructure that is required for housing development. I would suggest that that be qualified, because it's housing development in which it is involved. It's not housing development in the general.
Yes.
Otherwise, the agency will not be able to do this, because private sector-driven housing development would then have certain requirements which the agency would have no part in.
Come again,
yes, specific. Yes.
Thank you, ma'am. Clause 5, that the following be the new clause, land which may be required. Land which may be acquired, and this will be clause 6, is that the agency may, after consultation with the landowner, identify, acquire, and hold land, A, that is registered or vested in the state or any organ of state, and which it is prepared to dispose of, or B, privately owned, for residential or community development purposes. Clause 2, subject to Section 25 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996, the agency may expropriate land for the purposes of creating sustainable human settlements. 3, Section 6 to 23 of the Expropriation Act, 1975, Act No. 63 of 1975, comma, apply with the changes required by the context to the expropriation of land, and the reference in that act to A, minister, must be construed as a reference to the minister responsible for housing, and B, section 2 must be construed as a reference to subsection 2. Clause 4, any consultation between organs of state in terms of this act must be done in terms of chapter 3 of the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, 2005, Act No. 13 of 2005. Clause 6. The initial clause was rejected, and we have a new one to read that functions of agency. Clause 7. The agency must A. develop a development plan to be approved by the minister after consultation with the relevant authorities in the provinces and municipalities. B. The agency must develop strategic plans with regard to the identification and acquisition of state and privately owned land, which is suitable for residential and community development. C, the agency must prepare necessary documentation for consideration and approval by the relevant authorities, as may be required in terms of any other applicable law. D, the agency must monitor progress of the development of land and landed property acquired for the purposes of creating sustainable human settlements. E, the agency must enhance the capacity of organs of state to enable them to meet the demand for housing delivery. F, the agency must ensure that there is collaboration and intergovernmental and integrated alignment for housing development services. G, the agency must identify, acquire, hold, develop, and release state and privately owned land for residential and community development. H, the agency must undertake such project management services as may be necessary, including assistance relating to approvals required for housing development. I, the agency must contract with any organ of state for the purposes of acquiring available land for residential housing and community development for the creation of sustainable human settlement. J, the agency must assist organs of state in dealing with housing developments that have not been completed within the anticipated project period. K, the agency must assist organs of state with the upgrading of informal settlements. L, and assist organs of state in respect of emergency housing solutions. Subclause 2. In performing its functions, the agency must A, ensure that residential and community developments are sustainable, viable, and appropriately located. B, the agency must ensure B, in performing its functions, the agency must establish compliance and fraud prevention mechanisms to ensure the integrity of the agency. C, in performing its functions, the agency must ensure that job creation is optimized in the process of residential and community development. D, in performing its functions, the agency must introduce and manage a land inventory and information system. And E, in performing its functions, the agency must ensure that community participation takes place.
What I'm not hearing is the transfer of skills. Skills transfer is still not there. Yes, ma'am.
It's in E. enhancing the capacity that covers both the transfer of skills and making them be able to do the job. In 1E.
Ma'am, I just thought I may assist. If the committee seeks to single out skills transfer in the capacity enhancement, it will then be necessary to list all of the things that encapsulate capacity enhancement, because capacity enhancement, by definition, unless it's defined as such, it refers then to not just the skills, it's the systems, procedures, is the governance, is the planning. So it's a totality of those things that once they are done, including skills enhancement, because including putting the people, ensuring that people can be recruited to take over some of the work. So I'm a bit concerned if the committee singles out only skills transfer as part of the capacity enhancement.
Chair, I mean, I agree that that the agency must ensure that there's a skills transfer. But if you look at E, E covers that, and I agree with the input made by the department. Now, E covers it very clearly. It says must enhance the capacity of organs of state to enable them to meet the demand for housing delivery. Now, I would imagine that includes the transfer of skills, etc. That very clearly covers that. You see, legislation can't go into minute detail. It needs to cover in a broad perspective, and that does cover the issue of skills.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Though I'm not against on it, but I think we need to say including skills transfer, because for a lay person, it's not clear. It's clear to us as people who are making this legislation, but for the people out there who are going to implement this legislation, it's not clear. So I would appreciate whether you will say how to fix it. If you say including, you will see Joe how to put it.
Perhaps, Chair, my name is Mulle Gondwana, I'm a parliamentary legal advisor. Perhaps there in E, you can say enhanced capacity, and then you can say comma inter alia, skills transfer, you know, and then comma to organize the state to enable them to meet that demand for housing delivery. Just put the inter alia skills transfer, amongst others.
Chair, there's something that I just want to raise, and I'm just worried, because you see, legislation will be implemented, this piece of legislation will be implemented by the Housing Development Agency, okay, and by the people that are recruited and are put into this agency. And I don't think it would be correct for us to say that we may understand this, but people that are going to implement this won't understand this. I don't think it'd be correct for us to say, and I think we must avoid trying to simplify this bill into such a way that it's, you know, it's a piece of legislation. It's not regulations. It's not day-to-day running. It's really legislation. So I'm just saying we must just be careful, because it's legislation, and that's how legislation is drafted. But if you read this thing, it adequately covers that. I mean, if we want to put on there skills development, but I'm just saying we must be careful throughout the book that we don't try and water it down to such an extent that we're trying to make it so simple. Thanks, Jess. I don't know if I've explained myself.
I do understand what you are saying, Kobli Craig, but I'm saying, is it a trans mesh if we accept the definition as given by the parliamentary advisor? I think it's supported. Can we leave it that?
Clause 7, mandate,
okay. Can we maybe at a later stage request for party caucus on that subject, on that one of enhance the capacity of caucus versus the amendment meant by the department.
Not now. Can we just pack it? Can we just put other inverted commas? Which is that it means we haven't accepted it as yet. That's what you are saying, members. Just a moment. You are saying that E must be packed.
Yes.
I'm listening to you. Members, we are not going to disagree yet. Thank you very much. We are not going to delay this meeting. But saying that E is a highlight, we'll come back to it before the end of this session. We'll break and talk about it on our own and come back to it. Is that all right?
Okay. But the rest is adopted. So.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Members, it is said that it has been adopted. Why should we go back?
Okay. Clarify something quickly. That if we say, if we take into account what the department has said, everybody, we spoke about enhancing capacity of organs of state, and the emphasis is to avoid the danger of listing everything, because we speak about skills transfer, capacity of organs refer to broader than just skills transfer, it's much more than just that. So if you're going to unpack it or to list, if you're going to start unpacking, we're going to have to list a whole lot, and that's how we draft it in this way, which is all-encompassing, so it enhances the capacity of organs and states would be whether skills transfer, whether capacitating provides some sort of assistance, but it's a more encompassing word rather than to just stipulate skills transfer. So I think this, if you look at itself, does take into account everybody's concerns that was raised here. But we, I mean, obviously the committee decides, we're free to do what you decide, but just to explain that is an all-encompassing clause.
Go to clause 7,
The minister must contribute the money to the agency as soon as possible, but no later than 6 months after the approval of the board. The money must contain the operational and performance indicators of being fit for the performance of the agency in the United States. Contain specific sets of delivery targets that the agency must attain, and C, contain directives regarding the utilization of any software programs. 3, the mandate may be with any other method that the minister or the agency has been on. 4, the mandate must be reviewed every 5 years. 5, the mandate must be consistent with the
members, you remember we said the in that line 10A, that you must remove that document and insert contain. We accepted that. And we also said in 4 there that the mandate must be reviewed and we removed at least because we wanted it to make sure that every 5 years it is reviewed. So what is the problem now? Yes, ma'am?
I don't know whether it's my rectification, yes. If I don't know whether, if I can remember that we were requested that, how about if we say governance relations instead of mandate? I'm not sure whether, but I've got it in my notes. If it can be rectified.
governance relations.
Thank you. I do recall that meeting, and it was considered. After the serious consideration of that, we looked at that clause. It actually deals with the mandate that is between the minister and the agency as such. It's not the whole functioning of the full agency. That is why we decided to leave it as is. And in terms of the PSMA and the Housing Act, they refer to it as the mandate.
Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Yes,
can I go to clause 8?
Thank you, Chair. It would appear, Madam Chair, that there is one great omission in that on the second page, the committee correctly adopted the purpose of the Act. One of the purposes of the Act, and I'm on page 2, in the middle there, the second clause. 2B, the purpose of this Act is to provide for the objects, roles, powers and duties of the agency. It would appear through up to now, the objects, yes, they are stated. The roles of the agency are stated. The duties, as in this case, it would be the functions, are stated. But the powers of the agency are not provided for in the Act. In that, while the agency will have all of these roles and functions and objects without the requisite authority or power in this case, it will be near impossible to effect what is envisaged as the functions of the agency. Madam Chair, without necessarily taking the committee back, some of the matters that the agencies required to do, ensuring that there's centrally coordinated planning, if that function or that role currently the three spheres of government are struggling with, and we then say the agency must ensure that there's centrally coordinated planning, and we do not arm it with the requisite power, it will be very stranded in that. Madam Chair, what I'm suggesting is that it is likely that following the functions, it is necessary to provide a specific package of powers to effect the role and the functions of the agency.
When we asked about the effect that we don't see in terms of the Act, the bill, the powers, we were advised that the functions themselves indicate that the agency has powers. So if that interpretation is not the one that you agree with, perhaps we should give the legal advisor a chance to relook at that. Because our assumption was that when we do those must, we're thinking that we're giving the agency power. That was our undertaking. That's why we remove all the mails. Okay.
Chair, that is correct. It is a must that is binding upon the agency alone. But it is bound to those functions, and that's correct. But it has no force of authority over others. And that is the distinguishing, that's the unique feature of any agency, that it must have special powers to cause the execution of the functions that bind it.
it would really be regrettably a great omission if the agency is not given the requisite power to effect the functions bestowed upon it. So I'm sure, Chair, given the suggestion that the Chair makes that the state law advisor be allowed space to look at that and the composition of that power, because that's really what will set the agency apart from everything else that is there. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think we have to move it. We accept that advice because it was our main concern in reality. But we agreed on this one. But I think we move that it must be relooked, that the power is by the state law advisor.
No, Chair, I was going to suggest that perhaps the department could then interact with the state law advisors as to what they feel, and then see how they can come up and craft whatever necessary changes need to be made. That's a part of my suggestion, Chair. Thanks.
Let me go back, because in terms of the amendments that we are trying to insert as the committee, at no point were the issue of powers put separately in the bill itself. Why was that the case? What happened?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Minister.
Thank you.
My apology, ma'am. Madam Chairperson, in the formulation and articulation of certain clauses, I have to admit that these matters somewhat got lost in the interpretation. But as the processing of the bill unfolds, it became clearer where certain things, and the committee was quite instrumental in informing just how this agency could be what it intended to be relative to what it was articulated to be. So in then reformulation, some of the things have become very clear, and I suppose even now in the functions, because some interpretations would be that the functions include the powers. But the problem, Madam Chair, is that stated this way, these functions are only binding on the agency alone. Therefore, the agency must do these things, but it has no power to cause others. And the environment that we operate in is not necessarily friendly and receptive to cross-cutting interventions, and therefore the agency would need to be bestowed with specific powers that will cause others to give space for the functions to be performed. But we will work with the state law advisor to just shape that clause on the powers, and it's not necessarily long.
What I would suggest, then don't worry about formulating it now. Once we have a break, and you people can work out on the formulation of the powers with Joe. Right. Can we go then to close 8?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Close 8, governing of board, which will now be close 9. I will just take you through the changes that were asked because it's not so many. It's on page 5 in line 22 that starts with a B, 7 non-executive members. It will read as thus: the board is responsible for governing the agency. The board consists of 7 non-executive members. which must include, then the rest is written. And the second change on page 5 in line 23, which reads 7 non-executive members, which must include one, Roman figure 1, a member designated by the minister responsible for public works to serve until substituted by that minister. And the third one, on in line 35, which is clause 5, to read as thus, the board may designate any other non-executive member to act as a chairperson if both the chairperson and deputy chairperson are absent or unable to perform any function.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clause 9,
which will now be 10. There is also consequential changes in A, which change in section 7 to be 8. The second one in line 49, the board must refer to the minister any matter concerning the adverse functioning of the agent. Yes. It's line 46 on page 6.
Okay.
A person may not be appointed as or remain a member of the board if that person B has been declared by a court to be mentally unfit. That's clause 11. Clause 11 on line 46. A non-executive member of the board may be reappointed but may not serve for more than 2 terms consecutively. And that is all that to be changed then. Then we go to clause 12.
Now, can we just discuss through that one again? Because I remember there was discussion on that.
Should I read it or explain how we came about? Read. Okay. It's clause 7C. Clause 7B. A non-executive member of the board may be reappointed but may not serve for more than 2 terms consecutively. Then we go to clause 12. Clause 12, also we only were required to look at changing 12.3. The minister may remove a member of the board if that member has, and the rest follows. We delete the appointed by the minister so as to cover even the other members that are delegated by other ministers.
Appointed by the Minister of Housing. And then the members of the board coming from public works or whatever. But would, yeah, sure. That. With us? No? Do you agree, members? Okay. Silent means consent. Let's move.
Okay. There were no changes on 13. 13, 14, 15, 16, right up until we reach 18.
Okay.
All those spaces, clauses were agreed to. Clause 18, we are on page 9, in line 13. the one that reads 18.1, the board.
Yeah.
The board must, in consultation with the minister, subject to applicable labor legislation, remove the chief executive officer and chief financial officer from, and then the rest continues as is.
Okay.
Is it agreed?
Yeah.
Clause 19 has no changes. Then we go to clause 20. Clause 20, we are in line 38. It will read as follows. The chief executive officer is head of the agency's administration. Subject to the directives from the board, the functions of the chief executive officer are to C, manage, recruit, and control employees, and D, develop an effective, efficient, transparent, and cost-effective administrative system.
Can you talk about substituting recruit? What does that one come from? Page 938.
It came from the committee that we had to change organize to recruit.
So you're going to put it in?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll read it again.
Transparency, don't know.
We are in clause 20C and D. So 20C would read manage, recruit, and control employees. And then D will read develop an effective, efficient, transparent, and cost-effective administrative system. Agreed. And then clause 21, changes are in 21F, that being on page 9, line 50.
Sounding a little bit clumsy. Maybe it is correct, but we're talking about an efficient, effective, transparent, cost-effective. Now, I mean, really, efficient and effective are pretty much the same words. It's pretty much the same. And I'm wondering if it's... I don't know whether we particularly need to put that there, but it sounds a little bit clumsy. Maybe the state law advisor or the department can help us, but to me it's pretty much the same thing. Efficient and effective is pretty much the same thing.
Championship does actually contain effective and all those things, because to be efficient you need to be effective as well. But we need to omit it if the committee wishes so.
Members, I think what the committee wanted to hear in terms of that clause was the issue of transparency. The transparency was what was missing in terms of that. And if you coming back with that transparent, it is there. Administrative systems. Did you speak about administrative systems?
Yes.
I mean, state law advisor, did you come up with administrative systems?
Yes.
I think, okay, then let's move. Yes. Clause 21.
Yes.
Yeah.
Clause 20.
fee.
Yes.
Chair, I don't know whether we need advice. Manage, recruit, and control employees. Is it not correct to say manage, recruit? Because if you say control employees, what does it mean? It's the same as manage, because if you say, it is not the same thing. You can't control employees, you have to manage them. But it is an administrative way that is correct, to manage employees. You don't control employees. Yeah, it's labor friendly to say you manage your employees.
Yes.
Chair, for progress sake and for a change to agree on with my colleague, let's remove the control part of it and because management to manage is control. Let's remove the control part of it for progress sake.
Okay.
Then manage, recruit employees, blah, 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 blah.
Let's think of the control. Okay. Manage, recruit, and employees. Okay. Let's move members. I don't think members, we should suppress members from expressing their opinion.
Yeah.
Even if we've agreed last time, maybe, but the person was asleep while we were agreeing. We've got a reason to raise up and to raise. I think we should allow space for members to express themselves. Otherwise, we it's not helpful. Yes, Honourable Member Craig.
No, Chair, I think just to indicate, it's not a case of wanting to make changes, but I think as we're seeing now, some of the amendments, as we're actually going through them, you then see that there's a clash of English words and so on. So it's really those four little things that one is raising. It's not substantial amendments to the bill. Thanks.
Yes, over to you, ma'am.
Okay, so can we confirm that D will now develop an efficient, so effective will be omitted. So to be efficient, transparent, and cost-effective administrative system.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then can we move then members to clause 21?
21. We are on line 50, which is 21F.
Yeah.
The functions of the chief financial officer include ensuring efficiency and economy of operation and avoidance of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We remove waste and extravagance.
I remove it. I remove it. We still agree with myself.
And then the second one is to insert a new I, yes, which will read, the functions of the chief financial officer include to provide sound financial control systems of evaluating all major capital housing development projects. Clause 22. It actually now also continues with the consequential changes of the clauses.
Yes,
Madam Chair, that page 9, line 54 in relation to the Chief Financial Officer. Madam Chair, we may be creating a conflict in the agency unintentionally. The function of the Chief Financial Officer is really to implement or to introduce and manage sound financial control systems for the
agency. Because the evaluation of capital projects and so forth becomes a component of that, which becomes the responsibility of different project managers who, in bringing in, evaluating the feasibility of projects, then would then recommend. So I'm just suggesting that perhaps the committee may want to reconsider, instead of making these systems of evaluating major capital projects, it rather be the financial control systems for the agency, not the project, because that will be informed. The financial engineering of project is not the CFO's function.
Okay.
Let me attempt that, Madam Chair. What I'm suggesting is that this clause be read as follows. Provide sound financial control systems for the agency. Full stop. And omit of evaluating of all major capital housing development projects. The feasibility of any project and the financial engineering relating to projects, it is not ordinarily the function of a CFO, but rather the function of a project manager and so forth. So it will fall in a different line function. But the CFO would then have in the agency the financial control system that will then have all the elements. So if a project is fed into that system, it will be considered for what it's worth. But it is not the CFO who determines the feasibility of projects. Ordinarily, it's not the CFO. It would be, that space, ordinarily, is what the agency exists to do. But there must be financial control systems in the agency.
But you see, I don't want us to lose this aspect of what the agency is to do.
The committee has correctly already adopted that provision. And if I may refer the committee to page 6 of the document. In the sub clause 2 at the bottom of page 6, it says, in performing its functions, the agency must ensure that residential and community development are sustainable, viable. There it is covered. Because viability talks to a number of financial considerations in the main, but there are other additional matters there. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I agree with Mr. Lushabane on the point of the CEO. I mean the CFO, that really he has to look at the finances of the agency per se. But I also support you when we are saying we need to have something that is stipulated, because I think we have an area where it is mentioned that the role of the agency is to project manage. There is a line that refers to that. So I think we can agree with him that we delete on the side of the CFO responsibilities. But I don't know where it can be fitted, because here Mr. Lisabane is saying yes, it has been accommodated, and I think I'm not sure whether it is clear to me. That's it.
Okay, we're fine with that. If he's fine with that, and if the committee's fine with what he wants, he's fine with that. Okay.
They understand that we are just deleting it all together, but we agree that we are deleting it on the side of the responsibility of the CFO, but we also leave it to them if they can discuss that. Because as Mr. Shalani has read, that it is there in clause, in subsection 2. We would like them to discuss that.
I just want to know where does this one came from in the first instance, because it doesn't come from the committee, it came with a bill. The evaluating all major capital housing development projects. That
no, it was discussed here.
Okay. So it was our amendment to the bill. The cleavage is that, but we must be able to be satisfied that this matter is not lost as such, but it should be covered somewhere within the bill. There's the proposal of Lishabane saying that it is covered in that section. Is it so? Okay. Okay. Then let's move to clause 23, member. Clause 23. Or 22. Sorry, 22.
Contemplated in subsection 1, the chief executive officer or the chief financial officer, as the case may be, is not divested of any power or duty so delegated or assigned.
Okay. Yeah.
Agreed.
On page 10. Agreed. Clause 23.
Clause 23. Mm-hmm. On page 10, in line 12, the first line, to read as follows: the board must determine the staff establishment necessary to enable the agency to perform its function.
Mm-hmm.
And then on page 10, again in line 30, staff from public entities reporting to the minister.
Yes.
Agreed. Clause 24. Clause 24 in F, line 44. The funds of the agency consist of fees for services rendered based on cost recovery, and G, subsidies granted and grants by the state. Agreed. 25 was fine up to 30. They were all agreed as is. And clause 30 in line 43, which is 31A, the minister may direct the agency to take any action specified by the minister if the agency is in financial difficulty or is being otherwise mismanaged, and that is all. Agreed. Clause 31 in line 25. To to read as follows. The minister must, after consultation with the agency, we remove the minister for the public service and administration and continue make regulations regarding the rest. And then on page 12 in line 40, the minister may, after consultation with the agency and parliament, make regulations regarding the rest, continues as follows. And that is clause 31. Agreed?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, Chair, but in earlier discussions, I'm not trying to find my, but at one stage, the department, I think it was, had come with a list of proposed amendments. And in this particular clause, that was proposed that the May, instead of saying the minister may after consultation, there was a proposal that it would be the minister must after consultation. I just want to get clarity on that. I do recall seeing something at some stage.
No, the bill is a must and it hasn't been checked.
Madam Chair, there are two levels, if I may just clarify. There are those regulations that must be in place. There are those regulations which do not necessarily have to be in place. They can easily be covered if you look at the first part in respect of the regulations relating to meetings to be held by the board and the regularity and those sort of things. Those can be covered in terms of the rules, internal rules of the board. But the more pressing regulations would be regulations relating to the exercise of the powers of the agency. Those are the ones that are a must. These are the may. I'm just if the minister is satisfied that the rules in the agency are and the policies relating to these are sound, the minister may choose not to regulate. But there are those issues that must be regulated that relate to the exercise of the power vested in the agency. Because otherwise Parliament, because these regulations would have to come back to Parliament, and they will simply be stating the board must meet four times a year. So that's in order. I just wanted to clarify that. The regulations that I do believe that are paramount is those that would regulate the exercise of the powers vested in the agency. These are more administrative side of the regulations. Thank you, Madam.
Chair, it's just something that I want to get clarity on, because in the years that I've been on this particular committee, and we've passed pieces of legislation, and in other committees that I've served on, where we've passed pieces of legislation, the one thing that we've never seen is what these regulations are. We've never seen them. So, and I'm wanting to try and, I just want to try and get some understanding. In other legislation that's drafted for other departments, for example, in the legislation, does it compel the minister to consult with Parliament in terms of regulations that are going to be gazetted, and so on? Because I'm just saying it, certainly in this committee, we've never ever seen any regulations. They don't come to this committee. So I'm just trying to understand whether it's norm. I understand we've discussed this previously, but I'm trying to understand whether it's norm. It's the norm to have it in bills like this. How is the practice supposed to work? Is Parliament supposed to be consulted through its relevant portfolio committee in terms of regulations that are going to be made and gazetted, etc.? I just want clarity on that, Chair. Because now, if I listen to what the department is saying, they're saying that the minister may. That doesn't mean that the minister has to. And that's why I'm asking, what is the practice? And perhaps the state law advisors can help us. What is the practice? Are regulations supposed to come before Parliament or the relevant portfolio committee, or is it something that's not part of the jurisdiction of portfolio committees? I just want to get an understanding, Chair. I'm not debating what you've got in here, in case anybody thinks I am.
Maybe the department also want to give some clarity on this, but usually the regulations is something which is in, the department deals with that. Our state law advisor's office, our office secretary usually deals with the regulations, the drafting of regulations, but usually the department gives that to us, and the regulations is usually gazetted also in the gazette for the public or for the broader population to see what regulations are being made and passed. But generally, it doesn't come to Parliament. It's usually passed by the department and gazetted.
Madam Chair, thank you. Typically, the legislative process is such that when an Act of Parliament gets passed, it determines the universe of force in respect of any matter. Sorry, I see honourable members frowning. Let me find a better articulation. When the piece of legislation gets passed, it sets out the law. Now, the member of cabinet, the minister responsible for that portfolio, by definition of being the member of the executive, is then responsible to take that law that has been passed by Parliament and say, in respect of these matters, and provide the how that matter is executed. That's why there is, and that regulation cannot be outside of what the law stipulates. It merely gives effect to the law as passed. So it is not for the legislature, as in Parliament in this case, to again determine the regulations. It has determined the law, the parameters, and then the implementing authority then determines the modalities and the hows and the limitations in respect of carrying out the law as defined.
Thank you very much. I think the manner Mr. Nishaban is explaining this, it is clear, and it is, but the challenge is, you'll find that the law is there, and then the regulations sometimes, you'll find that there's a contradiction in some area, in some areas. I think the what the Honorable Neyman is raising, I think it was this committee that requested that at least we know that it's the department that crafts the regulations under the minister's directive. And then it's proper that we have to look at those regulations, and we have agreed upon that issue together with the department. As Mr. Shabana was confirming that they are going to bring those regulations. So, Chairperson, I think the matter he's explaining is clear. But when it comes to implementation, we find that people will refer to the regulations instead of referring to the legislation itself. They will say the regulations are saying this when you are doing your oversight. Thanks.
Yeah. Chair, I agree with the department. I would agree that it's not Parliament's role or the Portfolio Committee's role to determine regulations. But, you see, we've always said in other legislation we've passed, let's give you the rental, housing bill, the mortgage, and the disclosure act. Now, we've always said that we don't know what these regulations are. We don't see them. Now, and the problem is, we're the ones that pass the legislation, but we have no idea what regulations are there are. And then we get told sometimes in presentations, you'll get told, yeah, but the regulations and so on. So we don't see those. And therefore, based on what the department is saying, I now think it is important that it must say, must make.
Yes.
Because you see, consultation doesn't necessarily mean that Parliament must determine. I would imagine, maybe there must be another word there, but I think at least there must be something that says that the regulations must at least be placed before Parliament. I don't know how to put it, but you see, for us, we don't see these things. So we're the ones that pass this. Then when we complain about the implementation, then we are told about regulations, and we don't know what those regulations are. So I'm not saying we must have a role in crafting them or adopting them. I'm simply saying that I think if this was what this was trying to say, at least it must come before us, or tabled, or something like that. I don't know if the state laws by the department here understand what I'm trying to raise. Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can I just point out one thing? I think we are misunderstanding this May. This May goes with the making of the regulations, as the Deputy DG did explain there, that it may make this kind of regulations that are needed. And then the after consultation part is the part that is crucial about that those regulations do come before the Parliament together with the agency. They must see them. It's the after consultation part that is covering the mass that we want to put as that may, because that may relate to the making of regulation, as the minister must still have the discretion to decide whether those regulations in terms of what they've already put in place, are they still required or not.
Chair, having listened to the state law advisor, I am actually covered now, because I had made markings on my bill here, and I see that it says that the minister may, comma, after consultation with what we're saying is now Parliament, make regulations regarding. So what is basically, if I understand correctly now, that it's saying that the minister may make regulations but has to consult with Parliament. Is that correct? Do others, is that correct? Then I'm covered, but I don't know about others, but I'm covered in my opinion.
If we are covered, we are covered. I think that's what you are saying, because... How are you not covered?
I'm only covered. I will only be
covered if the state law advisors are agreeing to what Greg is asking. If that is the meaning, I'm covered. If that is not the meaning, then I'm not covered. Because if I don't know whether my London is correct. I'm not English speaking, but if
remember, rest assured, it is what you are meaning.
Okay.
Then you are covered. Then can we go to the memorandum on object? Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Still on that subject, with regard to the regulations, I think Honorable Greg has raised a very important issue that would love the Children's Department, you know, to bring it to the attention of this committee. It's more specifically with regard to the consistency in terms of the words and in terms of the terminology that we use, let me say, you know, as the committee. Because if our system serves me well, We did actually not bring the same committee with regard to the issue that relates to the regulations. And more particularly, you know, Honorable Chair, with regard to the amendment with regards to the issue that we should rather not use the Selector Portfolio Committee, but this time around we should use Parliament. While we were briefing the Portfolio Committee on the Rental House Amendment, we as the department, we have advanced the same reason. We came to say that the minister must have a consultation with Parliament. But the same House, the same members were of the opinion to say Parliament does not actually not relate actually not to Selector Portfolio Committee. We need to be very clear and precise what we're referring to. That is why, hence today, the Rental House Amendment, when we deal with the same issues that relate to regulations, it does not make reference to Parliament. It says the minister must, after consultation with the Select or Portfolio Committee on Housing. So this time around, the honourable members have suggested to say with regard to regulations should be after consultation with Parliament. I just want to alert Mr. Donovan, for the honourable members only to note, to say that I think it will be advisable for us actually to be consistent in terms of certain things. Because last time, the honourable members rejected that we should not use Parliament, but rather we should be specific in terms of rental housing. But this, with regard to this regulations on the agency, is now making reference to Parliament. I'm not suggesting anything, honourable members, only for the honourable members to take note.
Members, we discussed this thing last time when the issue of Parliament was raised. And we spoke of the Select Committee and Portfolio Committee. But I remember it was somebody from the department who said Parliament. We wanted Select and Portfolio. We were told Parliament would be the better term because Parliament encompass both houses, and it is Parliament who would refer the bill to the relevant committees in either house. So, I'm sorry about what we made in the rental, whatever, but let's be consistent. From now onwards, we'll be using Parliament. Is that right? Okay, sure. Okay, sure. All right, members, let's go to the memorandum on objects.
Agreement with municipalities.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on page 14, in the first line of paragraph 4, to insert identified. Mm-hmm.
Identified.
Okay, on the clause, supposed to be identified.
Yeah.
Okay, this is amended. Okay, I'm not. On page 14, in paragraph 4, after release, to insert state and privately owned land. Okay. On page 14, in paragraph 5, to omit a municipality and to substitute any organ of state. Yeah. Okay. On page 14, in paragraph 5, to omit which has been identified by municipality. Okay. Okay. That's omitted. Okay, on page 14, in the first line of paragraph 6, to omit only. On page 14, in paragraph 6, to omit, a municipality lacks the capacity to, and to substitute, there is a lack of capacity to identify. are in paragraph 6. Okay. Okay, on page 14, in the third line of paragraph 6, to omit municipality 2 and to substitute province and municipality to identify. On page 14, in paragraph 7, to omit municipalities and to insert organ of state. And to substitute organ of state. Okay. Okay. On page 14 in paragraph 8, to omit document and to substitute contain. On page 14 in paragraph 10, to omit 9 to 22 and to substitute 10 to 23. That's a consequential amendment. On page 14 in paragraph 11, to omit 23 and to substitute 24. Yeah. On page 14 in paragraph 13, to omit difficulties and to substitute difficulties. Okay. The preamble, which is... Oh, sorry. On page 14, in paragraph 13, to omit 30 and to substitute 31. Look towards the back of here. That's a consequential. And then we move to the preamble, which is on page 2. Yeah. On page 2, after the 7th line of the preamble, to insert the following paragraph. And whereas there is a need to establish the Housing Development Agency, which must fast-track the processes of housing development. That would be a new paragraph inserted there. And then, on page 2, after the 12th line, to insert the following paragraph, and further acknowledging that there are serious problems and hindrance towards the realization of housing for all, and that there is a need to accelerate the service delivery of housing and to enhance and to source the required skills.
I'm only asking, can on page 2, the word there are serious problems and hindrances towards the realization of can the preamble? Preamble. Page 11. The one that was just read. Is it possible for us to say that there are serious problems and challenges towards the realization of housing? I'm asking if it is possible on the number two one, and further acknowledging that there are serious problems and hindrances. I'm saying, can it be and challenges towards the realization of housing for all?
They're not supposed to say there are serious problems. They're supposed to say there are serious problems.
Challenges, yes.
Okay.
Hindrance.
Yeah.
essentially.
Members, are you happy with the saying that on page 2, and further acknowledging that there are serious challenges and hindrances to the realization of housing for all, and that there is a need to accelerate the service delivery of housing and to enhance and to source required skills?
Let me request your protection. Yeah, I raised the issue, so I believe that it must be debated correctly, unlike fighting. I earlier on said English is not my language, but the little understanding that was given to me when I grew up was that challenge and hindrance are the same thing. It's the same. Yes, your name. If you say there are serious challenges, you've covered almost every area.
So which means then what you are saying, remember?
Just hold up.
No howlers, raise your hand. And further acknowledging that there are serious challenges towards, okay, you delete the rest. Let's see now what you're saying. Is that, yes,
thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. If I may suggest the construction of that preamble and suggest that it reads, and further acknowledging that there are serious challenges that hinder the realization of housing for all and the need to accelerate delivery of housing and to enhance and to source the required skills.
Thank you. Okay.
And just to confirm you with his comments, and further acknowledging that there are serious challenges that hinders the realization of housing for all, and that there is a need to accelerate the service delivery of housing and to enhance and to source the required skills.
Yes, that's great. That's good. Thank you. Yes, ma'am?
Madam Chair, it's just a small omit, just to omit the word, the need to accelerate the sales delivery of housing. It's more to accelerate the delivery of housing.
Yeah, the delivery, not service delivery, right?
Thank you.
The delivery of housing.
Can we outsource the required skills? Yes, President. Can we outsource?
Madam Chair, I would rather suggest that we refer to secure. Yes.
Acknowledging that there are serious challenges that hinders the realization of housing for all, and that the need to accelerate the delivery of housing and to enhance and secure the required skills. Is that what's agreed?
Yeah.
Chair, through you, Mr. Lechavani came up with the but I see there a lot of ends there. And there is a need to accelerate the service delivery of housing and to enhance and to solve the requirements. So can't we make it more? There's a lot of ends.
Madam Chair, that can be corrected by commas rather than end. In that way, it won't be tautologous. Is that the way?
And further acknowledging that there are serious challenges that hinder the realization of housing for all. Therefore, the need to accelerate the delivery of housing. Am I correct or wrong?
Member, go again.
Okay. And further acknowledging that there are serious challenges that hinder the realization of housing for all. Therefore, the need to accelerate in the delivery of housing and to enhance and secure the requirements. Secure. You must recall that we were saying there are many ends there, and obviously, therefore, would bring meat to the bone. I need to be assistant to the department this time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, ma'am. Just in assisting to refine the wording. After the need to accelerate the delivery of housing, I'm suggesting that the committee considers and to enhance the security of the required capacity. So that the skills is one thing, Madam Chair.
I don't agree.
State law advance. Do you want to come in? I don't agree with Mr. Brian now.
Thanks, Chief. Just to go to the earlier day, for the reason why we didn't put the issue, because the need to accelerate house delivery is not only...
Members, please.
The reason why we wouldn't go for the therefore because the need for to accelerate housing delivery is not only as a result of the challenges for the realization of housing, but there's lots of other things which give rise to housing, like the constitution and lots of other things. Therefore, it's not only a result of one, therefore we prefer to list it rather than to say therefore. Thanks.
I agree with you.
And then we move to the arrangement of sections. Okay, we've included the arrangement of sections in the bold. The reason why I've included it is make it easy reading, so if you open the act, you can actually see what the details, instead of going through the section for section. Yeah. Okay. That the following be a new arrangement of sections. The heading would be sections. It would start with definitions. Purpose of act, establishment of agency, objects of agency, role of agency, land which may be acquired by agency, functions of agency, mandate, governing board, functions of board, persons disqualified from membership of board, appointment and removal of members of board, resignation, removal from office and vacancies, fiduciary duty and disclosure, committees, delegation and assignment of functions by board, appointment of Chief Executive Officer and Chief Financial Officer. Conditions of appointment of Chief Executive Officer and Chief Financial Officer. Vacating of and removal from office of Chief Executive Officer and Chief Financial Officer. Acting Chief Executive Officer and Chief Financial Officer.
I don't think you should read all of them because we can see now how these chapters have been arranged.
Okay.
How the different sections have been arranged.
Okay, and it ends with a short title and commencement.
Okay,
at 38.
That's fine.
Thanks.
Jambuza? Thanks, sir. I think the issue that was raised by Mr. Shalani about the power, though we have agreed that it's not good, they have to work it aside. I think we have to note that.
But the thing is, they
have to break because we want to pass the whole bill to the can't postpone it. They have to go and draft these powers and come back to us so that we can adopt them. I can adopt all the amendments, including the powers. Is that right, Mr. Shaban?
Madam Chair, that's in order, and thank you for that indulgence. I would suggest at this early stage that they have in the arrange in the sections. That would include Section 8, which would be the powers of the agency. And then the subsequent sections, the numbering would then follow chronologically in that order.
It comes from section 7, it is section 8.
Certainly. Which would then be powers of the agency, which in the next few minutes we will bring to the committee.
Chair, I think we are going to be to the department now to say that we need that instead of including it now, because functions usually mean powers and duties. We could make plans to include it under functions, which will incorporate powers and duties as well, if we don't want to rearrange all the sections. So I think maybe we decide on what we draft and then to amend the arrangement of sections afterwards. Thanks.
Okay. I'll leave it to you and the department to agree on that. Save the committee from indulging in terms of that. Why don't we say powers and functions of the agency? But within powers, within the but you start then with the powers and then elaborate on the functions. You understand? So it becomes one chapter, powers and functions. Subsection A, and you deal with the powers. And then you follow with your function thereafter. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we look at the drafting and I think we come back to the committee what we decide on in the drafting time.
Then say we are breaking now to give the department and state advisor chance to work on the power. It brought to us so that we can adopt the whole thing. Thank you very much. And we have a break. Can we give you 10 minutes, you need 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
Madam Chair, 16 minutes will suffice.
1:06?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's good. So by half past, not an hour, by half past you'll be back. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I can derange this bill little short bit. I can derange
this bill. Are you looking for one of the pie bill tomorrow?
No, that one you must forget, my darling.
It won't go through. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah,
in one portion, you will tell you no portion, you only do duplex.
two-bedroom house, it's a two-bedroom flat.
Okay,
two-bedroom and then in the dining room,
We are able for what we have recorded, yes.
we can put it in something that we can take home. But we're unable to do that, are we?
It's too big, it doesn't perform as it is.
Because that's exactly what I needed. And you work on this, and then if you light this thing on without the earphones, it was making a lot of noise. You can't even listen on its own.
The one we have in the tablet. You can put on a
message.
But even this thing, if you record on here and you put it on your PC, you can put it back on here and listen to me as well.
Mm.
And you can get earphones, you can plug your earphones in there.
Mm.
You can still take the time with it as well and listen around from there.
So you can also listen to it, but with an earphone.
Yeah, with earphones. Okay. With earphones, it's always better because the sound is more direct than direct from here, because you've got all the disturbances around.
Mm. So if while you were recording there was a noise, does it also pick up the noise?
Yeah.
Because I think it does.
Pick up from the microphone.
Yeah.
I haven't done it with a cable. Actually, the first time I'm doing it with a cable. But I looked at it, and even with a microphone, even with the microphone, with the cable, still pick up noise.
With the cable?
The cable. In the back of it. It still picks up noise. I'm still recording from the microphone.
And it's the end of the session, eh? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Yeah. Tomorrow is like 27 or what is it?
Yeah, tomorrow I'm on leave. Tomorrow is
going to be on leave. Wow. No.
After leave, I'm going to wait.
Then it's Friday, 2008.
Yeah, tomorrow is 27, Friday is 27. So tomorrow is free. You guys retest them tomorrow?
No.
Oh.
It's Friday, not
tomorrow. It's Friday, okay. It's taken only a month long.
Yeah, it's a whole day trying to
get to the last. Yeah, we're going to leave for going to Worcester. My bike, maybe. My bike is in for service, that's why I'm going to make a call. The business service unit, that's going to cost me 1,500 for the service. And when I spoke to them, I said, my front brake and my drive chain, that's another 1,000 rand.
My back light, the other one, the whole line broken. The front light, when I
was taking it back. Because they got to check all those things. Because my bike, they actually take the engine out.
It's about 2 weeks ago, eh? So will they agree to that? Because it's certainly maybe time that you can come back after the
second. Yeah, I mean, they're not going to really get a back bike.
I
got back from 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because I called me now, the place I took mine to my bike, the motorbike shop, the drive chain is inside the motor. So they actually take the motor out, they open the motor to see where things go. Now they're replacing that, they take your brakes, they take the bike for a drive.
You're
supposed to be one of the good ones.
You're the smart.
Why are you complaining? Call them and complain to them.
The reason I want to buy a new car.
Because there's more problems.
My car is
You buy the car second hand?
No.
Brand new.
A brand new car.
No.
When I found that back and whatever, you know where they are available? That 24-hour whatever. They came. They looked at it and said, but now we cannot. I was mad. I said, mother, can't you come and ask them where it's going to be? I said, just to call. We can't get them through. What time is it? I thought, okay, fine. I'll meet you. Put my face. I want to drop my car this morning. In a place like I wanted to charge you. I said, what? He gave me the car. I reported him on Monday.
Well, it's not buying new car. You've got so much problems already. How long was it cost?
No, it was 2004.
Oh, okay.
No, at the time it was 2 weeks, and there was a problem with it. And they said, no, they'll get for me wherever, where they manufacture it.
That's a little bit more problems.
The fatal thing for the thing is the problem. You said in part, the electric part, I never had a problem. Because I don't even want to listen to my car as to whether it's doing well or not. I don't care.
Put out the supplement.
The only thing that I had during my period is the puncture. Hey, I've had a lot of punctures in my life.
But where are you driving when you get punctures?
Sometimes I don't even have a phone, whether maybe when I'm buying a new tire on the other side, they all have
Murphy block?
So it's not like
it's miles longer around the pitch up.
Yes,
I mean, the wrong one. I've had one with my motorbike. I bought a brand new tire. I didn't have the money. It's up now. And I replaced the old tire. So they can put a plug. But I said, I'm not riding the plug. Not in the motorbike. I refuse. I had to go buy a new tire. It was like $1,300.
It's always small,
because my bike went in just for the normal service oil and salt. They called me on a drive chain sunbreak. But it's expensive. I said, what must I do? You've got to fix it. And they're not done yet. So call me again if I need anything else.
This May. We are second reading debate.
This is in the past.
When you are from this school of law and from the UWC school of law, you see there are many differences. You must know that the UWC is a revolutionary.
Yeah, Five provinces.
So why did the other provinces say time?
You must join others.
People are subject to change, even on the day.
Yes,
you
can never say you
are serious.
The outsider. They tried, and then
it went to the direct committee of government.
Oh,
I'm going to say,
It was informative.